employ over capacity. Why can I see? Maximum velocity. Digital hard racing. Multiplexing.
So, hey, you're listening to a new Soundwave. Today, we're actually recording this anyway on November 8th, which is a Sunday. Typically, we do the show on Thursday, but we didn't. So, with me, I have John DeLuna, JDXV, and Chris. How's it going, guys?
Good?
Yeah.
Great.
Excellent.
Okay.
So, what's going on with you guys this week?
Not much.
Nothing cool?
It's kind of a slow week.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Yeah, I got nothing
same
either.
Same here.
So, speaking of got nothing, let's go to our show. Taking a look at the news, there is a
excellent
dedicated Twitter device coming out, and we're not a technology show, but we do all love us some Twitter.
It's a dedicated Twitter device. What is this?
It's kind of like, okay, you see my BlackBerry here?
Yeah.
See, this is a phone,
uh-huh.
And it does lots of stuff, including Twitter. The other thing only does Twitter. Does
it only does Twitter.
Yeah.
And how much will we pay for this magical item?
It's like $8 a month. And how much was the device? Like $130?
What in the hell?
No, you pay you either pay like $100 and then pay a monthly service fee to send your updates to Twitter, or you pay $200 up front and you get lifetime service for free. Lifetime, of course, being defined as however long the company lasts. I call 6 months.
Yeah, I don't see this lasting. You know, if they're doing the like flat fee thing, they should just roll Twitter into like the Amazon Kindle and call it a day.
There you go.
I really want a Kindle DX. Does anyone here have a Kindle?
I don't.
Or any type of e-book reader?
I think you should get one.
I do want a Kindle DX. I don't want a Kindle. I want the one with the 9-inch screen.
So you can get one, and then I can live through you, because I don't want to get one.
Yeah, especially because it natively reads PDF, and you could read comics on it.
Sweet.
Monochrome, but still, you're reading comics.
Hey, that's what they did it back in the day.
Yeah, it's better it's better than my netbook, I think, because it's more easily read. I try to use my netbook. I read it in, not landscape, but portrait mode. I sort of flip it over like it's a book, and I can read comics that way, but it's still not really, I don't know, I don't like reading it on the screen. It just doesn't work for me.
Good.
Okay, also in the news.
I was just a bit in shock. But what moron would think that a dedicated Twitter device would be a good idea?
For $200.
Who makes it?
For any dollars. For $5.
A social media expert, of course. One of those people that have like 45,000 followers, and they actually follow like 80,000.
If you're a moron and breathing, you're going to have a cell phone that most likely is going to be able to do Twitter.
If you have a cell phone, it can do Twitter.
Dude, Xbox
exactly
is doing Twitter soon.
And who doesn't have a cell phone? And if they
you
don't,
the text
they,
message, you can do Twitter.
They sure as heck got bigger problems than having a dedicated Twitter device.
Yeah,
this is a fail on so many levels. One, because it's completely useless. Two, because no moron should buy this product. and three, for whoever came up with the idea and did all the R&D has absolutely wasted money for their company, because nobody is going to buy enough of these products in order to even closely recuperate the amount of money that they've spent developing them.
Well, cost.
Speaking of, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, the cost of the device has to be minimal. I mean, it's got to be a very, very simple device. I mean, it's not even doesn't even have to have all the capabilities of a cell phone.
I'm thinking track phone when you talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, seriously.
Yeah.
I'm thinking something track phone level with a QWERTY keyboard.
Sounds
yeah,
right.
I don't know. I'm just for some reason I hear the story and I flash back to the story in my own state of Oklahoma, where the state of Oklahoma spent $7,000 to have someone sign them up for Twitter. So I'm just
nice.
Like, I don't know, maybe I'm just fired up about that.
Get
still,
money
so.
If you can get it.
God, yeah,
no kidding.
So
yeah, I'll set people up with Twitter accounts for half that.
Oh yeah, me too.
Email me.
Speaking of Twitter, I'm having some fun on Twitter. The whole social media expert thing is sort of just I noticed that I was getting all these followers that claimed to be social media experts, and they followed a lot of people, and they had fewer people following them back, and I really wanted to get into that game. So I sort of pulled a old character out of the works, created a Twitter account for them, and I got bored with that, so I decided to just sort of kill off their family and just in Twitter form. So I'm having a blast doing this. So if you're out there, follow TFGL4VR. TFGL4VR. It's fun stuff.
Sounds yeah. like it.
It's a blast.
It's worth it.
Yeah, it's me trolling myself, basically.
Nokia it's
has
actually funny.
Yeah, I think so. Thank you. Nokia discontinues the Engage support. I thought they did that years ago.
I thought it was already dead.
What?
I mean, who owns an Engage?
Sad individual.
It's like a GameCom.
Yeah.
But a little better.
Ooh, yeah. I remember those. Never had one, but it always looked stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the commercials.
Yeah, the Engage is dead. Woe is us.
Oh, sad. So how many? They did two generations of that, right?
I
think so.
Engage 1 and then Engage 2.
Oh, yeah, the Engage 2, they tried to fix all the problems of the Engage 1.
But in the end, it was still an Engage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Did anything actually come out for that? I mean, basically the Engage fail because all of the games that you would want to play are available on every other cell phone in Java anyway?
Probably. I don't know anything like specific that came out for it that was exclusive.
I don't game on my phone. If I want to play a game, I'll play Brick Breaker. I have it on my BlackBerry.
If I want to play a game, I'll play Mario.
What will you play Mario on?
On my Wii.
Oh.
Well, you can't do that in public, Chris.
Yeah, not the same.
No, waving your wand around in public there, Chris.
Aww.
Yeah. If you do, make sure to wear the life jacket for it.
Thing. Yeah.
And actually, now they have the Wii, the Plus, that makes it a little longer.
Yeah.
So. It's more sensitive. So
I don't think anybody's going to buy that. I think that's going to disappear pretty soon. That Motion Plus.
Oh, they'll just build it into the.
They're saying that next Zelda is going to use it, though.
Yeah, it'll be built into the Wiimotes, I'm certain.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've started almost giving them away with games and stuff, too. So.
Yeah, it's not something they seem to be wanting to make a lot of money on as an add-on device. They're just making it available for people to upgrade their existing hardware.
Yeah.
Which is why you can buy 5 or 6 different games that all come with one. And I even remember there was pre-orders for Wii Sports Resort that actually came with 2 of them for $10 more.
Really?
Ooh.
That might have been like a GameStop exclusive thing, but you know Nintendo had to be cutting them a deal for that.
Of course. Okay, cool. Okay, into the topics for the week, we have ABC's V. Who watched V?
JD, why don't you start us off on this?
Well, it was definitely a show that was on television that you could watch.
It was in color.
Unless you're in the Nashville, Tennessee viewing area, in which case you've got the Jeff Fisher show instead.
And that may have been a better option. No, I was concerned that, I mean, when I first heard that V's coming out, I was excited because, I mean, I wouldn't say that, I mean, it's been a long time since I watched the original series, but I remembered it was really interesting. It was sort of a different take on, you know, the alien invasion scheme. And so when I heard it was coming out, based on other shows that are out now, that, you know, sort of keep elements of the plot secretive and they don't really reveal everything right off, I thought, you know, this has promise because there's a whole new audience. There's people that have never seen the series that have heard about it, but don't necessarily know what it's about.
That's
right.
Me.
And so, you know, they could get into the show and it would give them surprises. And if you do know about the show, then you could watch it, you know, and be like, oh, I know what's going to happen, but, you know, they're doing, you know, hiding all this stuff. Instead, they went the route of just sort of playing and showing all of their cards right up front in the first hour premiere. So now there's no mystery, there's no intrigue, there's nothing to hang on to, because you pretty much know where it's going to go.
Yeah, that was so my problem with it.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh, okay, I'm done. Now I've seen it. They've revealed everything. Now you know that, you know, the visitors are reptile aliens and that they're here to take over. And, you know, that's we're done. Cool. I don't have to watch this series anymore.
See, I knew absolutely nothing at all about V. I knew that it was a series, and that's about it. I didn't even know it involved aliens. So for me, it doesn't really ruin this series. It ruins the last series. If I actually wanted to go back and watch it, now it's all sort of blown for me. But
maybe they should put spoiler warnings at the beginning of the first episode here.
Exactly. So it doesn't really impact my enjoyment of the series, because I had no preconceptions. For me, I would have just assumed that this would have all been announced in the course of the first episode anyway, and then we'll see where the show progresses from here. I'm expecting progression in the show itself, and not necessarily in the reveal of secrets. I don't know.
Well, and that would be, I mean, that's the only thing that they've got now, right? Because, but see, this is the problem to me, that they did the same thing with Bionic Woman. When they did the Bionic Woman series, they didn't leave any kind of mystery. They didn't leave any kind of, you know, thing unrevealed. And so ultimately, I was done. After the first episode, I'm like, all right, cool. We know what's going on. We know what's going to happen. So there's no real reason to keep watching. And that's kind of how I felt, you know, after the first episode of this. It just didn't feel like there was any. And not only that, but I mean, to talk about a good point, honestly, the visual effects, like the digital special effects in the show, are excellent.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it looked pretty good.
You know, yeah, I mean, really, really.
The plane crash really looked great.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Oh, man,
that
was incredible. I was like, so to give the show props, it was great for that.
And
I thought the.
We have hot alien lizard chicks.
Yeah.
I love
right.
Yeah, everybody's hot.
Yeah. But and that was the other thing, though. But see, I didn't think the makeup effects were very good. I thought they were a little, I don't know. But, I mean, those are hard to do, so what do I know? But there were definitely some production problems and some script problems. Where, like, in the beginning of the episode, the FBI agent, the mother, is being told, no, ma'am, you can't go past this barricade. No, you have to stay here. And then, so he gets distracted. She goes under the barricade, where it just looks like they have one group of onlookers separated from a different group of onlookers, yeah, with no real reason for the two groups of people being separated.
Yeah, exactly.
So sort of like, it was just sort of like, we're going to separate these two groups of people merely so that we can put a barricade up within the plot, but not really an actual one that we're going to explain why there is a difference between these two groups of people. The glaring one for me was at the end of the episode where, you know, it's revealed that, was his name Charles? I can't remember his name.
I don't remember his name either.
Yeah.
Can't remember the character's name. But anyway, it's revealed that he's now a resistance fighting V, which was in the original series. I mean, this is, you know, not a new deal. But he's injured in the fight, and he has a slash on his arm, and that's what he uses to show his friend that he's a V. Next scene, he walks in the door to where his girlfriend slash fiance to be is, and does this horribly motivated, "Ow, grab my arm, it's in pain." Only problem is, it's the wrong arm.
Oh.
Yeah. So not only is it a horribly motivated act as far as from an acting standpoint, but it's the absolute wrong arm. So, you know,
I guess it doesn't speak well for the show. I didn't watch it live. I ended up having to download it through
XBid.
And the person who edited the video together edited it out of order. So I watched the first 5 minutes, then it skipped to the last 20, and then it started back. And
you couldn't tell, could you?
You
couldn't tell
until they started showing the in beginning credits, like 40 minutes into the show. I thought there was something wrong at that point.
Yeah, so. Well, and that's, yeah, exactly. I mean, there's all kinds of this little stuff. There, another good example was they have the news guy on the TV, and he's sitting there talking, and he's saying, well, it's been 3 weeks since the visitors showed up. Then it
and
cuts.
And they had the subtitle.
Had the subtitle 3 weeks later. I'm like, really? Really? We need that? You know? It's like, okay, this is where we're going to be.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
Who liked this? I did.
I didn't hate it, but like I was telling you guys before the show, I watched this episode, but I don't think I'll be coming back.
I'll watch it.
I mean, cause,
yeah, I'll watch it.
I will give it at least the first four episodes we're going to get this year, you know, and see how it goes from there to find out if I'm going to come back when they hit the rest of the season in early 2010.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with Brian. I'm not upset about, you know, showing all your cards or giving away secrets, as long as narrative, they take the narrative in an interesting direction, which is going to take a few episodes to see if they do that.
Right. To me, it seemed like they were trying to get all the basic situation and character motivations set up in the first episode so they can use the rest of the time to play with that setup they've put together. Instead of spreading it out for several episodes and killing some of the openings for stories for the first season.
Right. Yeah, yeah. When I mean, the one thing, we'll see if they do it or not, by giving away all those secrets, it kind of liberates them. And they can kind of now just, you know, start running with the story. So, I mean, whether or not they do that, we'll see. But
that's exactly,
I mean,
right.
That's the idea.
For me, though, this really makes me want to rewatch Alien Nation. I really miss Alien Nation.
You know what makes me want to rewatch?
What?
Earth Final Conflict, which itself was basically a ripoff of V.
Was that Chris Carter?
Right.
No, what was the Chris Carter? No, what?
Chris Carter did some other crappy show.
I can't remember what it's called.
No, no, not X-Files. X-Files
Earth
was pretty good.
Space 1999.
I don't know. He did some sort of VR show. Yeah. It lasted like five episodes.
Some nerds we are.
Yeah.
Wow. No, I mean, I think I'll probably give it a single, you know, I'll give it one more episode to let it set up. But one other note, though, that was funny is that there was a meta moment in the show where they mentioned that, like, this is the real Independence Day. And they made the joke that, well, yeah, but that was a ripoff of any number of other invasion shows, not unlike the original V. So,
well,
I don't know.
If we're
I thought it was kind of a fun.
Well, a couple.
I mean,
couple
that was actually
things.
Funny, but.
One, it really ticked me off when the hot alien chick presented herself on the mirror on the bottom of the spaceship. And Anna, I'll call her by her name. I'll respect her. I'm not objectifying her, but she's hot. But she, she spoke and then everyone applauded her. That really angered me because those people are sheep. Two, I really love the heavy handed metaphor for the Obama administration that is, you know, discreetly hidden within this episode.
Yeah, it was real light, real subtle.
Yeah, that was there. Well, and it's also there for religion as well. I thought it was as much for religion. I mean, I mean, the symbology of the ship landing, causing the falling of the image of Christ and breaking on the ground. You know, that didn't escape me. So
yeah, I got that too. And I don't know. I sometimes I like subtlety, and sometimes I like ham-fisted stuff. And I'm all for ham-fisting this.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a good way to end it.
Oh yeah. Okay. Also, what? Oh, we had the topic for this episode, and I've honestly forgotten it. Is TV Guide still relevant? They own the TV Guide channel now, so I mean, I guess everyone. That's my only interaction with TV Guide. Do they even sell that?
The TV Guide channel actually has shows on it too, don't it? I mean, it's actual shows now.
They have clips of American Idol.
It's not like a channel that tells you what's on. It's actual shows now.
Yeah, it used to be. I think it depends on what you want from it. I mean, just like anything within a good business structure, you're going to change based on what the market wants or needs.
Well, yeah, and the format of TV Guide, the publication, has changed in the last 5 or 6 years. You know, it's not the little booklet thing anymore. It's more like a magazine now.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, little digest
and
don't sell either to magazines.
The detail of the listings has actually been reduced.
Right. I mean, 20 years ago, you needed to have a TV guide so you knew what was on. Well, now you don't need that. You know, it's built into every TV unless you're poor. But
it's also on your satellite and cable box in most
cases.
Boxes. Mm-hmm. And if all else fails, there's the internet.
Exactly.
I find myself referring to the internet ever.
I don't either because I have satellite service, which has a very serviceable program guide built into it.
Yeah,
unfortunately, I have Cox Communications, and their search guide is really horrible. So I do actually use TV Guide for their online listings if I'm looking for something that is on more than, you know, 1 or 2 days out. But no, I mean, that's what I say. I think they've changed their model enough that it's at least relevant from a business standpoint. But as far as, you know, needing to have it to find shows, no.
Yeah, I don't know. I used to enjoy actually reading TV Guide to find out what was happening with television, but that's what I have any varying number of websites for.
Exactly.
I mean, TV Guide as far as like the actual content that preceded the guide, you know, the pages that were actually glossy and, you know, readable. No, I have no reason.
Yeah.
The
pages that didn't come off on your fingers?
Yeah.
Hot and not, I think, wasn't that the...
Cheers!
Yes, that's right.
Did Siskel used to write for TV Guide? Like, do movie reviews on it?
I don't remember.
I want to say Siskel used to.
Someone did. There were TV or TV and movie reviews.
He'd do some sort like a TV,
maybe
like
it's
a
Leonard
movie
Maltin.
Review. I don't know. Maybe it was him. It was one of those guys.
I mean, you know, I have some nostalgia for TV Guide because things like the three issues back to back when Michael Landon was, you know, fighting cancer, then he died, then they had two issues back to back after he died. I don't know.
That's a lot of Michael Landon.
I think the last issue I got was like the Star Trek anniversary thing where you'd have like, look, it's Kirk and it's Bones and it's all them.
So XP, there was did TV Guide say that the Star Trek Deep Space Nine episode In the Pale Moonlight, did they say that was the best episode of Star Trek?
Well, it was highlighted in a full-page article and heavily praised for the story and how it was delivered. I don't know if they said outright that they considered it the best episode of Star Trek, but it was definitely the feeling you were getting from it.
It was, so we can just leave it there. Okay.
And they were right.
Okay, so I'm not really... I can't really say any more than TV Guide is only relevant in TV channel form now.
Yeah, I haven't bought one in years.
I've not even seen one at the newsstand.
I thought it had died years ago, to tell you the truth.
No, it's still there. I see it when I go to Walmart and stuff. So.
Yeah, it's still in checkout lines.
Tekken 6. Tekken 6 came out October 27th, like 2 weeks ago.
Something like that.
Chris and I finally picked it up because we're both longtime Tekken fans. Probably Tekken 2 or Tekken 3 are the two games that I've spent the most time of any game ever. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of time wasted playing Tekken 3.
Not completely wasted.
I mean, I was playing King today, and my muscle memory retained like a couple of his 10-hit combos. But,
nice.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, it's been forever ago, and I'm not very good.
No.
But Tekken 6 kind of sucks.
Yeah, it's pretty disappointing, I think.
It's if Tekken 6 seems like a step back from Tekken 5 because it seems exactly like Tekken 5, but not as creative.
I mean, I think the only reason anybody's going to buy this is online, and I've heard online's not even as janky as heck.
Yeah.
But there's a patch coming. There is a patch that's supposed to be fixing it.
But
who knows when that's coming.
We'll see if I enjoy it more. X Arcade, or X Gaming, just released an Xbox 360 adapter for the X Arcade arcade stick, so now I have absolutely no reason whatsoever to own a PS3. In all honesty, it's not a jab at the PS3. It's just that Microsoft they've been kind of jerks when it comes to licensing controllers, and X Gaming's not been able to obtain a license to create controllers, so they had to confabulate a way to actually you do it, and it's basically you're using the firmware from an actual controller. And a licensed controller, and it's sort of a pass-through deal. But now that that works, I mean, I paid like $130 for the controller. I mean, I would probably buy a console just because I could or couldn't use it because I paid so much money for that controller.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it's a great controller. course, I've, you know, rejiggered it with, I've taken out the X-Arcade parts and I've replaced it with, like, the HAPS 8-way competition stick and their cherry switches, and probably most people are tuning out now.
You should totally do a whole show about arcade sticks.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know that I could do a whole show on arcade sticks, but I could do a whole show on how to build an arcade cabinet.
Yeah.
Which would be fun.
For
me,
you?
For me.
Self-segment.
Yeah, but... but no.
Well, there goes our audience.
Yeah, there goes our audience. We're near the end of the show anyway. But with that being said, Tekken 6, again, it kind of sucks.
Well, you've only played it for like 5 minutes, so you can't really judge it by that. But
sure you can.
Yeah.
It plays exactly like Tekken 5, and the problem is...
I think you're going to hate it even more when you play the Tekken Force mode.
Probably.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I played Tekken 5 recently. I've been playing Tekken 5 Dark Resurrection on the PSP, which I enjoy thoroughly because the backgrounds are beautiful and it's fun.
Solid game.
Yeah, Tekken 6 is basically Tekken 5 without the fun.
I wouldn't say that
much. So when you say it's, like, less creative, what do you mean?
The backgrounds are boring. The graphics, it doesn't feel like it's a next-gen game as far as graphics. I mean, it pretty much looks the same.
Yeah, it could be playing on my PS2, and I would never know the difference.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like an slightly upgraded version of Tekken 5.
Yeah, basically, for the people...
The music's terrible.
Yeah,
the music's boring.
For the long-time Tekken players or fighting game players, think back to Tekken 3 and Tekken Tag Tournament. Tekken Tag Tournament is basically Tekken 3. They added very little. They added the ability to play. So when they went from Tekken 3, which was a System 22 game... in the arcades, the Sony PlayStation 1 is basically a System 11 board, but they had to drop, you know, some polygons to get it to play. Then, of course, Tekken Tag Tournament came out on the PlayStation 2 with substantially upgraded graphics, even from the System 22 arcade game. So it's basically like that. The gameplay has added very, very little to, you know, in the change from Tekken 5 to Tekken 6, but the graphics have had a pretty substantial increase, but there's like no artistic value really.
I think it makes sense why they didn't change a whole lot though, because I think Tekken 5 seemed like it was pretty well received. I mean, I really liked it, and if we could have had an actual multi-console release of Tekken 5 with an online mode, that would have been awesome. So basically, they just take what works and give it online.
Yeah,
they probably didn't want to mess with things.
Make it a $20 game or a download, kind of like they did with Tekken 5.
Like they did with Tekken 5
on
PlayStation 3. Yeah,
yeah, and I would have much preferred that.
Yeah, I mean that's all they really had to do.
So
but they
got my $60.
They got you $60, so that's all they care.
They'll probably never get my $60 again.
Wait till Tekken 7. You'll probably give it to them again.
Things do tend to get better when they hit 7.
Yeah.
Okay. Soul Calibur 4 is great.
It is. It's awesome. I love Soul Calibur 4.
It's a huge step up from Soul Calibur 3, which kind of sucks. Problem with Soul Calibur 3, though, is it was not multi-console. It was on the PlayStation 2, and the PlayStation 2 was basically a loathsome piece of hardware by that point.
And it wasn't arcade at that point, right? It was straight 2?
It was straight 2.
Console?
They eventually released it in the arcade, but, I mean, the PlayStation 2 hardware was so far, far back from, like, the Xbox. The Xbox was able to render much more beautiful graphics than the PlayStation 2 was, and... The best version of Soul Calibur 2 was on the Xbox. The best selling was on the GameCube. So of course, you know, Namco released the third version on the PlayStation 2, which lagged behind the two different areas.
Yep.
Sucks worse.
Yep.
Okay, guys, what's on your blogs this week?
Well, I made a blog post about how I haven't made a blog post this week.
That's meta.
Ooh, interesting.
Ooh, nice. Yes.
Hey, John, I've noticed that you've not updated your blog since
I'm
first
going
post.
To update it this week. I've been trying to figure out what to blog about.
You know,
but I think I have something.
You know, no offense to anybody else, because I you know, everyone is a unique and beautiful snowflake, whatever the phrase is. You had the best blog graphic until Rob did his. Rob's blog graphic is insane.
Awesome. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, you have to check it out. Yeah. It's got a mad ball. It's got this weird sort of crazy dot thing going on. Then it has a miscolored star convoy. It's insane.
It's really great. It's really great.
JD, I saw that you posted something.
Well, I did a Transformers post. We talked about that. But I was going to mention that I had finished, and I'll probably do my post about it later, which will be before the show goes up, but whatever. I did finish the third issues of each of the Blackest Night runs for Teen Titans, for Superman, and for Batman. So I was going to kind of compare and contrast those and talk about, did they work, did they not, what was the best, what wasn't. So
let's see here. Since the last episode, I posted, I think, my G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra review. I don't think we've done New Soundwave since.
Which is an excellent review, by the way.
It's pretty bad.
I even had a friend of mine that said that he absolutely loved your review.
Oh, really? Someone actually liked that? Oh,
yeah.
Great. Okay.
Yeah.
He said
it was genius. So
awesome. Okay. And I don't know also, but we did the blog post where I basically showed off where the magic happens, meaning the
podcast, hopefully.
The mod pass.
The podcast.
The mopcast. The
right.
Podcast. I think we already covered that. Otherwise, no, Chris, you don't have a blog because you are illiterate.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty much it.
Yeah, basically.
That's why I'm talking into something instead of typing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But you do a great job of speaking into the microphone.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, typing doesn't make for good podcasting anyway.
Not anymore. You know, no one does like a wire service, though, like a wire service cast.
That sounds thrilling.
Yeah, so does
it. Isn't that just a blog?
Basically. Blogging is not dead. Okay. You guys,
a blog with an RSS feed, you know.
Well, yeah. Okay, do we have any final thoughts, any final plugs?
I don't think there's anything new coming. I mean, V was sort of the exciting thing, and that we thought, you know,
kind of,
but I don't know that there's anything new that's really coming out this week. I mean, the problem is we're kind of coming to the end of the seasons, the end of some of the releases, so it's just not a lot of, you know, fire.
Yeah. I think next weekend, Chris, we'll be seeing Men Who Stare, or is it Men Who Stare at Goats? Or
I want to see that really bad.
Yeah, I think we'll be seeing that. Mm-hmm. We may talk about that
I
next
see
week.
That.
Men Who Stare at Goatsy?
Yeah, that's you.
That would be
a
whole other show.
That's a different show, but exciting. In a different way.
Cool. Well, guys, if that's it, we will talk to you all later. Thank you for listening.
I over capacity. Why can I clean? Maximum velocity. Digital hard racing. Multiplexing.